Good Shepherd Sermon for Thursday, March 14th, 2024. Pastor Dennis Falou. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so they too might share in the joy Jesus won for them. Here's Pastor.
If you're in business or you work for a company, it wouldn't at all be difficult to imagine you having meetings to determine the mission of the corporation. They want everybody on board to do what it is you really want to accomplish as an organization. Churches do the same, by the way. We often have meetings to determine what our mission should be as a congregation and so on and so forth, to go and tell and listen and share and all kinds of other things. They're all pretty much the same for the churches. But the reason is that we need to be on the same page. We need to be working for the same goals. In our reading for tonight, which we heard a few moments ago, Jesus established a mission church. He established a mission for our churches. He established what we are all to do as Christians. He says, go, baptize, and teach. What an amazing story this is. We are focusing on the mission that involves baptism. I've got here a 7/8-inch wrench, okay? If you got a half-inch bolt, this ain't going to do you any good. If you got a 1-inch bolt, this ain't going to do you any good. If you've got a screw to screw in, this ain't going to do you any good. If you've got a nail to nail in, this ain't going to do you any good, but a lot of people would use it that way anyway, you know. I once asked my buddy who had ordered a cheap screwdriver online. And I said, is it a good quality screwdriver? And he said, well, it all depends on the size of the hammer you use on it. No. We are talking about the perfect tool for the job. What's the job? To bring people to the gospel, right? The baptism is part of the toolbox of the Holy Spirit. Now let's ask this question again. What does the Holy Spirit use to do His work? A means of grace. What are the means of grace? Word and sacraments. How many sacraments are there? Two. What are they? Baptism and the Lord. You know, we hardly have to run over this several times. You guys already got this. That's okay. But we'll try it once. We'll try a different tack. What is in the Holy Spirit's toolbox? Louder so they can hear you. The means of grace. What are the means of grace? Well, no. Word and sacraments. How many sacraments are there?
Two.
What are they? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. You know, we want to understand this. What does the Holy Spirit use to keep me in faith? Means of grace. What are the means of grace? Word and sacraments. How many sacraments are there?
Two.
What are they?
Baptism and Lord's Supper.
You see, people think that I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be involved with the gospel. I don't need to be, you know, all I need is, you know, I can find God in nature and I can find God in my train hobby or whatever it might be. But the bottom line is when we separate ourselves from the Holy Spirit's toolbox, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Okay? So let's talk about baptism. I remember Tim the Toolman Taylor. What did he want? More power. Yeah, there you go. How can I make baptism to have more power? Well, I know people who go over to Palestine and they'll bring back a jar of water from Palestine, and they'll use that water for the baptism of their children and grandchildren. Does that make baptism more powerful? No. What if you have a real fancy baptismal font? Does that make baptism more powerful? No. I served in mission congregations where the baptismal font was whoever happened to have a bowl they could bring to church that Sunday. Okay? But I've got to tell you, baptism is not a miraculous thing in a sense that it's not magic. It's not what we would call magic. But I have to tell you that far too often people think of baptism as though it's magic. As though it's magic. There are some parents who will bring their child to be baptized, and that child will never again see the inside of the church. Then there are some parents that are kind of in the middle of things. They'll bring the child to be baptized, and they'll bring the child to be confirmed, and other than that, that's all the child needs. But here's the problem. If you're not continuing to instruct that child, to bring up that child in the Word of God, to bring that child to church, to establish it, to have devotions, whatever it might be, the faith that God instills in that child in baptism dies. It doesn't stay any longer. In my years, I've seen baptism looked at in different ways. When I was growing up, a woman who had a baby did not leave the house until that child was baptized. Nowadays, people wait until Uncle Tanus can get there from Cleveland, you know. They schedule it when it's convenient. But you see, the problem is this. Baptism is a way in which we live with the promises of God. Who would want to not have the promises of God in baptism? To secure that child in the family of God as soon as possible, or as soon as reasonable. These days, this is not the Middle Ages. You know, children live longer than 6 or 8 months. For the most part, we are able to, you know, have the baptisms done in church at a reasonable time. It's a wonderful opportunity for the church to revel also, to celebrate the birth of that child and the baptism of that child. It's a wonderful thing to have those baptisms take place in church. But it's also important to remember that if there is something bad about the birth of that child, maybe that child's life is in danger, that we call the pastor to get an emergency baptism. Or if the pastor isn't available, any Christian can do this. It's not some sort of a thing. Because we as believers have the authority to baptize, to forgive sins, to do other kinds of things. All this God has given to us as part of His church, part of His family of believers. Last week we talked about how baptism is for all nations. And it doesn't matter whether you're black, white, polka-dotted, whether you come from China, or whether you are from some other kind of area in the world. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or anything else. Baptism is for you. It's for your children. It is a real blessing that God has given to us. And through baptism, we erase that wall which sin has built between us and God. But it's important that we continue to deal with that wall. It's important that we continue to serve God. If the pastor can't be the only one who does a baptism, but it's more than just the pastor too. We think about the godparents perhaps, sponsors. We don't do that quite as much as we did when I was young either. But sponsors are not just witnesses to say, yeah, I was there, I saw this. By the way, in the church that I served in Lake City, Minnesota, most of the baptisms only had the church serve as the sponsors. But you do that too. You do that here in a baptism. We all do that in our churches. During the baptism, you're going to be asked, as members of the congregation, are you going to support this child? Are you going to bring them up? Are you going to do what this child, are you going to provide for this child what this child needs? That means nursery, Sunday school, elementary school, confirmation classes, youth groups, all kinds of different things that encourage them. Are you going to keep track of that child when he goes away to college? You're going to encourage him, strengthen him, do whatever you can for that child, for that young person, that brother or sister in faith. There's a lot of people involved in the baptism of a child, and you and I are part of that as a child comes before this church to be baptized. The role of the church is a lot more than just providing a font or the water or even a pastor to do a baptism. It's all part of what we all do as God's people. You know, I'm afraid to say that there are some who see it wrongly. The Ephesians passage says, do not exasperate your children, fathers. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. See, a lot of parents think that they can pass off the instruction of their children to the spiritual professionals. You know, the day school teachers, the pastors, the elders of the church, whatever it might be. But the disciplining of children, the bringing up of them in the Word of God, is all part of the responsibility of parents that was begun in baptism. Jesus promises to be with us as we carry out the work of baptism. He promises to be with us as we bless, as He blesses these children that come before us. Baptism is the right tool for the job. Why? Because it is part of the Holy Spirit's toolbox, right? Toolbox. I mentioned to a pastor friend of mine that we were doing this series on baptism for Lent. And he said, huh? Baptism? Huh? So let's ask the question, why can we do, should we do a series on baptism or the means of grace or the Holy Spirit's toolbox during Lent? It's because the power for baptism, the power of the Lord's Supper, the power of God's Word, the power behind the toolbox for the Holy Spirit is that life and death of Jesus on the cross. It's that magnificent resurrection on Easter morning, which we will celebrate in not very long. Let me try to fix that sentence. Which we will celebrate in a short period of time. How's that? Is that better? In relatively a few days, yeah, a couple weeks. But the point is this, that we can do a lot. You know, you can be an architect and you can build the world's tallest building, but eventually that building's going to collapse and fall down. You can be a doc. Sorry? That's another sermon. But you're not wrong. You can be a surgeon and you can save the life of 10,000 people, but they're eventually going to die. Just like that building's eventually going to fall down. But the work that we do as believers, the work of the gospel, the work of the baptism, that's a work, that's a benefit that lasts for this life and for all eternity. Amen.